Psalm 107. And like I shared last week, this time of year, we celebrate the new year that is upon us. We look into what is to come, and we look forward, and we think about that with anticipation of celebration. We have New Year's Eve parties and things like that, and we celebrate what's to come. But I believe we also need to take a step back or a glance over our shoulder and look back and celebrate what God has done in our lives. Because he has already done things, and those things that we need to celebrate, not just look forward to what he's doing next, but to remember the things that he has done. To remember that he has brought us through fire and water to places of abundance. And if he's in the process of doing it, then we can know that he is going to do it as well, that he will bring us through those things. And so we need to look back and celebrate what God has done through our lives. I also talked about maybe today, because we're talking about Testimony Sunday, so that could be something that you would consider sharing as something that God has done in your life this last year that was transformational, but also to consider what's the bedrock? What would you consider the bedrock of your faith? In other words, no matter what difficulties that you go through in life, no matter how much you doubt the Lord, you can go back to this one time in your life. Maybe it was the day of salvation for you. But this one time in your life that you say, I know that I know that I know that God did this. I know that he did. And from there, we can start again. No matter what the difficulties are or the doubt that we experience, that we can start again. And so that's what we're going to share at the end of the message time today. And Jacob's going to lead us in that. But I just want you to want to preface that so you can be thinking about it, be praying about it. Listen to what the Holy Spirit would want you to share today, if you would be so willing. I'm not going to go up and down the aisles and say, everybody share something. But as the Spirit leads you today, to consider what it is that you may share. All right, so Psalm 107. If you're there, say, I'm there. Verse 1. You ready? Say, let's go. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despise the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Hallelujah. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities or because of their sins. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you again that your word is truth. It is truth to us, God. And as we look at your word, as we peer over your word, as we study your word, Lord, help us to absorb the things that you want us to absorb today. Help us to take in the truth that we need to take in today, that we may found our lives on a sure foundation. And Lord, would you speak through me in these next few moments and prepare us for this time that we get to share testimonies with one another today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Title of the message today is Necessary Testimony. Necessary Testimony. In The Chosen, Season 1, the actress that plays Mary Magdalene says this line after Jesus delivers her from demons. She says this. She says, "I was one way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him." Praise God. That one phrase sums up what Jesus came to do, to save sinners by giving us a new birth and to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's a picture of that, but also sums up what we as followers are to do, to share our testimonies, to share our stories. In Psalm 107, which is the first psalm of the last book of Psalms, you look in your Bible right above Psalm 107, at least in mine, it says Book V. That means Book 5 in Roman numerals, Book 5. The book of Psalms is broken into five subsets of books, each of them maybe representing, some theologians say that they may represent the five books of the Torah or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, so they're following a form or an order like that. Other theologians say that each one of the books has a specific theme, and they say that the fifth book here, starting with Psalm 107, the theme is God is among us. God is among us. And accordingly, Psalm 107 outlines people crying out to God and God intervening on their behalf. And while this is definitely a part of this psalm, it begins with the psalmist telling the reader in verse 2, if God has redeemed you, you need to tell your story. You need to tell your story, or you need to say so, like we said earlier. Not just so, but actually say what your story is. And so we need to keep this in mind as we read through this psalm. And four testimonies are given that I read today of those that God redeemed from the hand of the foe and gathered from the east and the west, from the north and from the south, which also can be translated the seas. And in the first one, verse 5, he talks about some of those that he redeemed and gathered to him were those who wandered. In other words, they tried to find their own way in life. They tried to do things their own way, and as a result, they became hungry and thirsty, and their lives began to ebb away. They realized that they couldn't do it. They're trying to blaze a trail their own way. They couldn't find out where they needed to go, though. And so what did they do? They cried out to the Lord. And what does God do when we cry out to him, Keith? He delivers. He delivers. He brought them by a straight way to their destination. Isn't that nice? Instead of bouncing around all over the place, God, just what is the direction you want me to go? And he leads us by a straight way into that place. The second one, verse 10, some that he redeemed and gathered to himself were those who sat in darkness as prisoners, all bound up due to rebellion. It's what happens when we try to make our own light in this life apart from Christ. We try to do things ourselves. We try to say, I've got this figured out. I'm going to make my own light. I'm going to make my own way. I've got a light flashlight. I'm going to walk this out. We end up finding ourselves in the dark. We're not sure where it is that we're supposed to go. So what do? We end up just sitting down because where do we go? We don't even know which direction to go. I'm just going to sit down. Those that he redeemed here also cried out to him, and he saved them. It says that he brought him out of utter darkness and broke their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful deeds for mankind and his unfailing love. Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, in Luke 1, verse 78, said, he's saying this actually, a part of what I'm going to read here. He's saying a whole thing. I'm not going to try to sing to you today, as Zechariah saying, so you can say thank you for that. But I wouldn't even know how to sing it. But once he was able to talk again, he was the father of John the Baptist. And because he didn't believe the prophecy of the angel that came to him, then he was silenced until John the Baptist was born. And so then after he's able to talk again, after John the Baptist is born, he sang a song, and this is part of what he sang. says, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what he does for us. We try to make our own way. We try to be our own light. But Jesus is the light of the world, and he's the one who guides us. He brings us out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he guides our feet into the way of peace. The third testimony, some of those that he redeemed and gathered to himself were those who had become fools in their rebellion and caused affliction to themselves because of their sin, the effects of their sin. They cried out to the Lord, and like before, he saved them as well. He sent out his word and healed them, rescuing them from the grave. I want you to know that those that he redeemed were those who rebelled first. In other words, God is still after us even in our sin, even in our rebellion. He still comes after us. He doesn't leave us alone. He wants us to be with him. He wants to have relationship with us. And so he redeems those who had rebelled previously. There is no one that God is not able to redeem. That's a double negative there. Okay? That was for effect. No one that God is not able to redeem. That means that he can redeem everybody. Okay? And that becomes a testimony. The fourth testimony here, verse 23. Some of those that he redeemed and gathered to him were those who sailed in ships and experienced a tempest in the high waves. I see them as those who are self-sufficient, who think, hey, I'm a master of the seas. I can take this. I can do this on my own. Okay? Prideful. But they were given a glimpse of God's power that was well beyond their own ability in the storms that they faced. For them, physical storms. For us, maybe storms of emotions or spiritual storms or mental storms or things like that that we go through. They were given a glimpse of God's power that was well beyond their own ability. And in their distress, what did they do? They cried out to the Lord. And he brought them out of their distress. These were four testimonies of what God has done. But because he has done it, we know that he can still do it today. He can still direct us in the right way. He can still bring us out of darkness. He can still heal us from the effects of sin, and he can still deliver us from the storms of this life. Pretty quiet in this Pentecostal church. Someone say amen. And those become our testimonies. Those become our testimonies. And as the psalmist says, we share our testimonies in verse 22 by telling of all of his works with songs of joy. In other words, in our worship. We bring an offering to him. We worship him. We tell of his works in songs of joy. And in verse 32, by exalting him in the assembly of the people through our testimonies. Through our testimonies. Are we an assembly of people today? Yes, then we are supposed to share testimony with one another. Praising him in the council of the elders. I want you to know that no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, you still need to hear testimonies of what God is doing. Yes, amen to that. Now, we like to hear most of the things that Jesus says to us. Most of the things. We like to hear when Jesus is silencing the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he's giving them what for, right? He's telling them what it is. We're like, oh, yeah, Jesus, you get them. You do that. We like it when he tells us about how much he loves us and how he came to die for us. We like it when he tells us about what is to come, that Jesus says that he goes to prepare a place for us. And if he goes to prepare a place for us, then he's going to come back and get us so we can be with him. We like to hear those kind of things. But we don't necessarily like to hear that in this world we will have trouble. We don't necessarily like to hear that if they hated me, he says, they will hate you as well. And more so when he says at the end times, all nations will hate you because of me. All nations. Can you imagine the whole world hating you? We don't like to hear those kind of things. We don't like to hear everything that Paul said to Timothy. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We don't like to hear those things. But we must acknowledge that hard things come into our lives. They do. And they come in typically through one of two ways, because we live in a sinful, fallen world. That's the world that we live in. Someday, there will be a place where righteousness dwells and God will be with man. And we'll get to do that together. And there will be no more sorrow or crying or pain someday. But that's not today. At least not right now. Jesus can come back this afternoon. He can come back right now. Even so, come Lord Jesus, right? But between now and then, we live in a sinful, fallen world where hard things come into our lives. And because there is an enemy who wants to get at God in any way that he can, and since he can't get to God himself, he wages war against God's offspring. Are you the redeemed of the Lord today? Then you are God's offspring. And the enemy wants to wage war against you. Revelation 12:17 says God's offspring are those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. They hold fast to it. They hold fast. I think it's interesting that the devil wages war against those who hold to their testimony. Why? Why is that? Because he knows what it can mean. He knows what a testimony can do. He's seen the effect. He's watched this for thousands of years. He's watched people overcome by sharing testimonies, by holding testimonies. Now, Satan is the accuser. He's also the tempter. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness. He's the accuser of the brethren who accuses us before our Father day and night. He's the one who tempts us. Oh, would you take a look at this? Oh, you should check this out. This will make you feel better. Do this. It's going to help you. And then as soon as we do it, did you see that, God? Did you see what your son did? What your daughter did? Did you see that? He's the accuser. He's the tempter and the accuser. He is not on our side. In other words, he's a tattletale. Anybody like a tattletale? Nobody likes tattletales. But he tries to accuse you and me of all the things that we've done wrong. And you felt it before. That feeling of being accused and condemned. And perhaps you thought that that was the Lord who was doing that. But it is not. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Amen? And as we quote regularly here, Revelation 12:11, we overcome the difficulties of this life in two ways. By the blood of the Lamb, in other words, what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. He poured out his life for us. He died for us. He took our place. He took our punishment to forgive us, to redeem us, to give us new birth into this living hope, to defeat death in the grave. He went down to hell and he took those keys. He took those keys of death in the grave and he rose again victorious. And now he holds the keys of death in the grave. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. This is something to rejoice about. This is how we overcome. We remember what the Lord did for us. What we could not do ourselves, no matter how good we live, he did for us. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. When we remember what God has done and we share that with others. So trouble and persecution are some of the things that testimonies are born out of. But there is no one in Christ without a testimony. Not a single person. Because God has brought transformation into each of our lives. Every believer has a testimony of how God saved them. They were once this way, and now they are completely different. And what the thing that happened in between was him. Every believer has a testimony of how God saved them and what that means to them. But there had to be a choice at some point between I'm going to choose to follow God or I'm going to choose something else. As has been said before, there's no testimony without a test. Do you know how vital your testimony is? It may be the result of a really difficult thing that happened in your life months ago, years ago. Or it took months or years to get through it. I think about that invalid at the Pool of Bethesda. 38 years he was an invalid until Jesus shows up one day and heals him. The 38 years that he spent being an invalid was part of the testimony of what Jesus did there on that day. He had a testimony. I was once this way, and now I am completely different. And the thing that happened in between was him. What has produced the testimony is the other way that we overcome the sinful fallen world and the schemes of the enemy as he wages war against us. Your testimony is vital. We need to share our testimonies with one another. I believe when Paul was writing to the Romans, the Roman believers, in Romans chapter 1, he said in verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. What was that spiritual gift? He tells us in verse 12. He says, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. He's referring to the testimony that he has, as do the believers in Rome, dealing with persecution and still walking faithfully with the Lord and God bringing them through. That is a part of mutually encouraging one another. Our testimonies are a part of mutually encouraging one another to walk in faith with the Lord. But there's a greater testimony than them all. Anybody know what the greater testimony is? Or the greatest testimony? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24 and verse 14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. I mean, that's the greater testimony right there. And that's what we're called to testify about. We're called to share the gospel. Out there on the Welcome Center, you may happen to see it as we walked in, but there's a sign that says, share the word, and there's some of these little blue Be Move Reach business cards. And I put those out there as conversation starters for you. They are a way for you to talk about who God is in your life. You know, hey, check this out. This is what my church is about. Be, move, reach. What does that mean? Well, when we come together and as individuals, God transforms us. He helps us to move together in unity, which is unlike the world. Okay? And he helps us to reach the communities of the world. This is what my church is about. Let me tell you why this is important to me. It's an invite card, yes, but it's also a conversation starter for someone to share the word with somebody else, to share the gospel. Why is it that it means something to you? So I encourage you, take a few, take them all. I have more, okay? As we wrap it up today, I told you it's going to be a shorter message today. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to testify! But before I get Jacob up here, I want to share with you a testimony of my own. This is what I would consider to be the bedrock of my faith. It's the thing that I can go back to regardless of what comes in my life, regardless of the difficulties that I deal with, the hardships that I face, the persecution that I endure, or even the doubt that, yes, I experience. It helps me to start over again with this testimony. Some of you have heard the story, but I think it bears repeating. And so if you've shared something this year as well as part of our testimony time, you feel like the Lord's leading you to share it again, share it again. We can use to hear it again. I was 23 years old. I worked at a college, and I had some friends there that decided that they were going to take a tour, like a tour around the world, specifically to Fiji and Australia. It was an 11-day tour. I was 23 years old. I was not walking with the Lord at this point, but I did know Kelly at this point in my life. In fact, she helped me pack my suitcase before I left. We were not dating. We were just friends. So I was thankful because she has great organizational skills, unlike yours truly. And so we go on this journey. We go to Fiji. And in Fiji, this is like, you know, tropical paradise. There's blue water in the Pacific Ocean. There's white sandy shores on the islands. We took a sailboat cruise, and we went past a lot of these islands, including the island that the film Castaway with Tom Hanks was filmed at. Went past these beautiful tropical paradise islands, and we're just enjoying just the, hey, we're in paradise, what everybody thinks is paradise, okay? On the sailboat cruise at 9 o'clock in the morning until noon, they served us champagne. And when our glass got empty, then they filled it again and again and again. I was 23 years old. I was able to drink legally, just so you know. But I drank too much. I drank too much. And by the time noon rolled around, I had an empty stomach, and it was full of champagne. And I was, as they say, three sheets to the wind, maybe four sheets to the wind. I was drunk. That's what I was. And as I was as we were getting to the island that we were going to go and have lunch at and play sand volleyball. We got to play sand volleyball on a tropical paradise island. I mean, that was kind of cool, I guess. But anyway, so we were pulling up to this island, and we're in a sailboat, big sails. I mean, there's probably 50 people on this boat. Sailboats have this big rudder that goes down really deep into the water, and so the sailboat can't get close to the shore, so they had this little shuttle boat that would come from the shore back and forth and pick people up and bring them back. And they had to do that a few times. And so while they were doing that, the friends that I came with decided that they were going to swim to the island. And I was like, oh, okay, because I was not in full control of my facilities. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do this. I can do this. One of them had flippers and snorkeling gear and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, ah, I don't need that. I got this. I can do this. And so I go up to the bow of the boat. There's like a gangplank off the front of it. So it was already a big boat, but then there's this gangplank that goes up like this out of the water, above the water. And there's like a little rope that goes around the gangplank. And so I'm standing up there. I think I'm standing up there. I'm not really sure at this point. I'm kind of 3 or 4 sheets to the wind. And so I watched a video of me later, though, of me. I thought I was jumping in the water, diving in the water. I actually fell in the water. That's what it looked like. I just fell off the side of the thing and just went toppling into the water. And I went down underneath the water. And I remember looking up. It was a very sobering moment in my life. As I'm looking up and I'm seeing the sunlight come through the surface of the water, the blue water. I have my eyes open in the salty Pacific Ocean. And I'm looking up. And I'm not getting any closer to it. The surface of the water is what I'm getting closer to the ceiling right now. And I felt like I was just pinned underneath the water. And I had no idea how to control any of my body at all. I didn't know what to do. And I'm looking up. And as they say, your life begins to flash before your eyes. I'm looking up and I'm like, well, that was a mistake. Because now I'm going to die. And I begin to think about the things that I had planned to do in my life. I planned to get married. I planned to have kids. Be a husband, be a dad. I didn't know what else beyond that. To make something of my life, I guess. This is all the thoughts that are going through my head as I'm underneath the water, still not getting any closer to the surface. And I'm looking and I'm like, I have to say goodbye to all that stuff. Never going to see Kelly again. Never going to see my family again. Just staying underneath this water, looking up. And I thought of God. And I felt regret. And I was like, God, I'm so sorry. I know this wasn't your plan for my life. And I'm thinking this. I'm not mouthing and I'm not talking because I'm underwater. And then I just said these two words. Well, I didn't say them. I thought them. I just said, God, help. God, help. And I kid you not, the next thing that happened was I was on the surface of the water. That's all I know is that I was on the surface of the water. And I was, you know, trying to stay afloat on top of the water, and I'm on top of the water, and I'm looking around and I see the guy with the snorkeling stuff he's on his way. Everybody else is connected to him and he's just pulling everybody to shore. You know, I don't know if he drank anything at all now that I think about it. But he was going to shore and I'm like, where's the shore? And oh, there's the shore. And I'm, you know, dog paddling however I can, you know, try to get to shore and running into all this coral along the way. I got all scratched up, my arms, my knees, everything. And I pull myself up on that white, beautiful paradise island shore. And I didn't notice any of that. I didn't notice that I was in paradise anymore. All I knew is that I was still alive, or that I was alive. And I can't tell you that I just bowed my head right then and I said, thank you, God, I give you my life right now. Or I give it back to you. I can't say that I did that. I came back. This is the end of March of 2001 that I was there. Came back. For the next couple months, I went back to living how I was living, apart from the Lord. Until June of 2001, when I brought myself to the altar. Because God started a work on that day. The end of March, in the waters of Fiji, he started a work in my life that day that turned me toward him. And it took a couple months to get there. It took a couple months to get there. But God turned me to a place where then in June, I came to the altar. I responded at the altar to an altar call. And I fully surrendered my life to the Lord. I fully surrendered my life to the Lord at that point. And it was after that that I began reading. I decided I was going to read the whole Bible from cover to cover. I had only ever gotten through Genesis. No, I never got through Genesis. Five times I started reading through the book of the Bible, the Bible itself, and I never got through Genesis. Five times I started. This is the sixth time. And this time it's Genesis came and went, Exodus, Leviticus, and I just kept going. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. And I get to Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, God spoke to me as I read the words of verse 16, which says, He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. And I saw that scripture come to life. God, who did that for the psalmist thousands of years ago, did that for me on March of 2001. What he has done in the past, he is still able to do today. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. And then three verses later, in verse 19, it says, He rescued me because he delighted in me. And he delights in every single one of you too. Every single one. But that story in my life became transformational. And it's the story that I go back to every single time that I experience any doubt in my life, anytime that I experience any kind of hard things, I can remember that God drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And I've heard him say since then, I didn't draw you out of those deep waters and rescue you so you could go back to living the way that you lived before. I've heard him say that to me over the last 20-some years. And so I don't go back to the way I'm living anymore because I have that moment with the Lord in the waters of the Pacific Ocean in Fiji when I should have drowned. And yet God rescued me, and he wants to do that for every single one of us. Amen? Amen. People can argue what's truth with you, but they can't argue your testimony. And that's why it's important to share as well. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have Jacob come up here. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your delight in us, your creation, the ones who you made in your image to reflect your Son to this world. And I thank you that you have not given us life without hope, that you are the one who rescues us. You are the one who redeems us. You are the one who calls us out of the grave. Thank you, Lord. I pray in these next few moments that you would put on people's hearts the things that they need to share, that would be an encouragement to one another, to each of us here. Help us, Lord, to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, as we celebrate what you have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.